This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. For more than 20 years, helping people look forward to their retirement years with confidence. If you have a chance to rate our podcast on your provider, we'd appreciate you taking the time to do that. And now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. It is February 3rd, 2017. And we're talking about making you a better investor, becoming an above-average investor. That's what the show is all about. Our number is 888-99-CHART, and you're welcome to call anytime you want. Lines are always open. It's Friday, so usually on Friday, I take a quick look at our premium newsletter we send out and give you some of the highlights. And, of course, the first section is called Current Market Conditions, and I mentioned in there that was a blizzard of economic data out today, this week, just a ton, which means there's going to be hardly any next week. There isn't hardly any. There's 2 days next week, but there's none reported. That's unusual. You know, it's not unusual when there's a holiday in the week, but 2 days, that's unusual. And so I talked about that, talked about the jobs report and all the economic numbers, not all of them, because that would be boring and nauseating to talk about them all, but I'm talking ones I thought were important that I should bring to your attention. And about the Fed meeting that happened this week that no one cared about, no one even looked at, no one reported on, hardly even reported on that. I mean, the Fed meetings are usually the top of the story when it comes to investing. This week, not so much. It's all about President Trump and what he's doing. That was a driver. Flurry activity from him. So, of course, the market and all the news medias and focused on that, which is not a bad thing. I'm just saying that you know, it's interesting they let other important issues just kind of fall by the wayside. And I want you to take note of that. If you're an investor, take note of that, because they're not reporting to you what's necessarily important to you as an investor. They're reporting to you what they think you want to see and are interested in, because it's all about ratings. All our investment shows, all of them, it's all about ratings. It's not about giving you the absolute best and complete information or picture about the economy or the investment world. That's not true. So you have to always take everything with a grain of salt and search out your own news information that you think is important. I do. I don't even pay attention. I look what I want to see. I want to go look at things. So should you. That's your driver to become a successful investor. I also mentioned that stock prices are clearly overvalued. Clearly. And earnings season is in full swing in that newsletter. And according to CFOs and CEOs, things are looking better for them going forward. I'm not so optimistic. I'm not pessimistic. I'm just not nearly as optimistic as they are. In the stock ideas section, a couple of stock ideas, one we own in our managed account. And then, of course, the portfolio manager sections I talked about, since, you know, I made note this week of, the reporting on what's going on with Trump and what he's doing. And remember, I'm talking about the investment news shows. Instead of, all the blizzard of data and all the other things that are important, or the Fed, didn't even barely touch upon them, I said, you got to remember in the portfolio manager section that what drives the market are emotions. And there's four phases of the market. You know, the cycle of market sentiment, depression, greed. You know, remember, there's only two emotions and four sentiments. Two emotions, fear and greed, the dry stocks. But the market gets, people get depressed when it's really low, and then they get too euphoric when it's really high, and then they get disbelief. This is the things I'm trying to, remember, we're trying to teach you to be better investors. One of the ways and one of the most important things you need to learn is to controlling and understanding not only your own emotions, but the emotions of the market and the cycles that it has in those emotions. It's fun. I like it. It's enjoyable, but it does take work. It does. And the Consumer Watch section, I talked about something that I think is pretty important. It was fraud. I talked about fraud a lot, but there's a section on that. Now, if you like to subscribe to the newsletter, you can do more. You can do it without risk. Just pay for your first month, and if you're not happy will refund you the $10, $9.99. Just click on the Invest Talk tab and you can subscribe. It comes out every Friday. Every Friday, new newsletter. It takes a lot of work for me, by the way, just in case you were asking, wondering. Not that you probably cared, but it does take a lot of work. But you know what it does? It helps me too, because it keeps me focused on what's important. I you know, since I have to write it, I have to make sure I know what's going on. It kind of helps me, but it also helps you. Do you have any questions about any aspect of investing, from sizing up on an online broker or to learning when to sell a stock? One of the hardest things to do is to sell. Not buy, sell. When do you do it? Give us a call. Our live listener line is always open. We're live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time. The number is 888-99-CHART.
Being a day trader, I'm wondering, aside from just having a lot of money in your account, aside from having not investing the full 100%, there are times where I do invest my portfolio 100%. How do you avoid being selling a stock and then having to wait 3 days for it to settle before you can turn around and actually maybe repurchase the same stock? Is there something I'm missing there, and that way I won't be in violation of good faith, aside from just having a lot of money that I'm not investing? Is there another way as a day trader that I can avoid these violations? Appreciate your answer. Look forward to hearing it, and love your show. Thank you.
Okay, so what he's talking about, it just takes 3 days to clear a stock. It shouldn't. It really shouldn't, not in today's instant communication and access. But most brokerage firms let you buy stock. Takes 3 days for it to clear, meaning they actually pay for it and they change it back into your name and it's now yours. But if you're a day trader, like he says he is, he gets in the stock and out of the stock on the same day. Well, then his money's not available to him for 3 days because it hasn't cleared. The trades have not cleared. And he wants to know if there's a way to avoid that. And the answer is no. There's no way to avoid it. You can mitigate the lack of ability to get to your money by talking to your brokerage firm and using a margin account. But that means you're going to be borrowing money, and I would never do that as a day trader. You can borrow money for those 3 days, but I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't. So there's no real way to avoid it, even though I think technically they should not take 3 days. It'd take 3 seconds because everything's electronic. So maybe if you can talk to different brokerage firms. Maybe they have some that are – remember, that. Let me put this really clear. It takes 3 days because the brokerage firm wants to take 3 days. They want to hold your money for 3 days. They don't have to hold it for 3 days. They want to. They could clear the trades much faster, and they generally do clear the trades much faster. They just want to have your money for 3 days so they can make money on your money for that 3 days. Think about it. Multi-billions of dollars that they can use for 3 days. 3 days of interest. Multi-billions of dollars. So the rule is they're allowed to take 3 days to clear. And they all do. I don't know one who doesn't. But they don't have to, and they certainly don't have to because it doesn't take that long to clear the trade. You can clear the trade in seconds because it's all electronic. Now, I hope that's clear. Don't think that 3 days is some old hard and fast rule. That's the old-fashioned rule when it did take time. It doesn't take time anymore. But they take the days because they want to earn money on your money. So the only thing you can do is check out other brokerage firms and see if there's any ones that, you know, give you more freedom to your money. Increased correlation between U.S. and non-U.S. markets has called into question. Does international investing really offer diversification? And that's our main talking point today. We're going to get into that. I thought that was pretty interesting because, you know, there's assumptions that international investing automatically helps you diversify. Maybe not now. Also, risks in the market. No one seems to be very concerned with the market right now. I'm going to talk about that in detail if I can. How much do you need to cover health insurance costs in retirement? You retired at age 65, let's say. How much money do you need just to cover health insurance until you die? Now, remember, you're covered under Medicare, but how much money do you need? You'd be surprised. And there's been 3 basic revolutions for investors in recent decades about how to invest and the methods that you can use to invest. 3 major revolutions. And the question is, are they any good? I'm talking about what's going on in the entire marketplace. For instance, the one of them is ETFs, the advent of ETFs. But is that really making you a better investor? There's three of those. We're going to talk about that. I thought that was pretty good talking points myself. Anyways, the market was up 186 points today. The Dow was up 30, and the Dow was up 186 points today. The Nasdaq up 30, and the S&P up 16 today. Market seems to be moving sideways recently. Not really going up, not going down, and you know the Trump rally is kind of petering. It's not falling. That's for sure. So is the market, you know, basing to run up another leg up, or is it basing to give us a correction? And you know what? If I had a crystal ball, I would tell you. I want to tell you, but I don't know. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. We just had this 1 hour every day, everybody, Monday through Friday. So if you want to ask questions, now's the time. 888-99-CHART. You can get through to me right now. 888-992-4278. So, does international investing really help offer diversification? Now, there's an article related to this subject, and from Investopedia. You know how I like Investopedia; they really are good. And there was a study done by this, and in the past, international investing has always been, the returns have been higher actually in international investing. And in the past, it has been true that helps diversify. In other words, it's a non-correlated market, meaning that when our market goes up, it doesn't necessarily go up or go down. When ours goes down, it doesn't necessarily go down, may go up. So it's not, you know, it's on its own track versus our market. And therefore, that helps reduce the risk in your portfolio. Well, you know, over the recent years, we've been talking about how it's been more and more of a economy that's more tightly woven, international economy. And now the investing world is the same. It's much more tightly woven. 50% of the S&P 500 earnings, and I mean, these are our 500 stocks, corporations that on our exchange, 50% of their earnings come from overseas. So what's happening, it looks like over the recent, few years, that the correlation is getting tighter and tighter and tighter between us and them, international investing and us. And therefore, the diversification is not nearly as clear as it used to be. Now, one of the problems with the study, you know, they're going back 100 years, you know, over the long period of time. And it's only been the last 5 or 10, 15 years where it's been more tightly interwoven our market versus international market. But I think that's enough evidence for me, and I've in recent years have decided that international investing doesn't really, you might as well invest here because we have those big companies that are doing business around the world. So if you want that kind of exposure, and you might as well just invest here. You don't have to go outside the United States. And it seems like our markets are getting more and more tied to other people's markets, you know, especially in the first world. Maybe not so much in emerging markets, but in the first world markets it is. This is InvestTalk, everybody. Remember, we're not all about stocks and bonds. How do you calculate how much you need in retirement? Have you ever tried to calculate that? We can talk about it. I just did that for several people this week. 888-99-CHART is how to reach me. You can do it right now. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, before I ask my question on the stock, do you know if an in-service rollover 401k, can you do it more than once?
Yes.
I did one last year.
Yes, you can. Now.
Oh, okay.
Now, you have to talk to your employer. It's subject to him. And you're asking me, is it possible? Yes. But will they let you do it? That's the other issue. They may not.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
So you can do it, but it depends on the rules they set up for themselves.
Oh, okay. Because, like I said, they approved it last year.
They probably will again if you're old. How old are you, Art? It depends on your age, too, usually.
I just turned 60.
Yeah, they probably let you do it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to find out about HBI, Hanes Brands.
Yeah.
Took
a hit today, didn't it?
Yeah.
We own this one. One of our managed accounts. That's why I'm all familiar with it. Funny. Okay. It's funny, Art, you have all these other companies do well, and then you look at the one that tanks on you, and that's the one you focus on. Your mind's like, oh, man, how could that happen? But it does. It's just human nature, I guess. I don't know. Hanes, everybody. Hanes Brands manufactures T-shirts, bras, panties, men's underwear, kids' underwear, socks, hosiery, casual wear, and active wear. It's a $7 billion company. It's not small. And, we talked about Under Armour earlier in the week, and this is Hanes, and they came out, and it wasn't as good. The news wasn't so good. I think it was their earnings news this morning, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, unfortunately. So they took a hit. Now, just think about this. They're going to make $2.14 this year after making $1.85 last year, and then next year they're going to make $2.37. Sales are going up about 10% per quarter, and they missed targets this quarter. So the stock took a hit, down to $18.98, down 17% this week. The P/E ratio now, remember, it's at $18.98. They're going to make $2.37 next year. That P/E ratio is now 9, and the 5-year average is 10-24. So, Art, I don't think I would necessarily buy more or buy it now, but you can't get much of a bargain, more of a bargain than this stock. Wait to see if it what it does for a few days. But
yeah,
I'd be
exactly.
a buyer.
I was gonna wait for it to settle and then see.
Yeah, the return on equity is 57%. Now I have a pretty high demand. I want it to be in the high teens, and this one's 57%. There's a lot of good things going on with this company, and it's paying a 3.2% dividend while you're waiting. It's hard to are people going to stop buying their underwear? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Art, appreciate the call. Always nice hearing from you.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's go to Dennis in Dublin. How you doing, Dennis?
Hi, Steve. Touched bases with you on occasion there. And
thank you.
My question for you today is just getting your feedback on as far as Under Armour, ticker is UAA, and what your feedback on that might be.
Okay, we talked about this a couple times this week, and because they got beat up just like Hanes got beat up today. They got beat up, 2 days ago or yesterday? I forgot which one.
It was 2 days ago.
Yeah, sometimes they just run into my mind. Yeah, a couple of days ago. And this is different. Remember, I just talked about Hanes, and I told you how much money they're going to make and what their P.E. ratio. Under Armour is a different animal. Even though they're in the same sector, they make apparel, footwear, accessories. But the difference, and they're about the same size company, about $9 billion. Here's the difference. Under Armour was a growth stock. Everybody knew Under Armour was growing, 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 and they were. They're growing 20-25%. And so they bid up the P.E. ratio. They're going to make 55 cents next year, and it's a $20 stock. And Hanes is going to make $2.37 next year, and it's an $18 stock. Therein lies your difference.
Yeah.
This, Under Armour, and Dennis, I love Under Armour. I think it's a very well-run company. I think these people are really, really smart. I think their products are really good. But the problem you have is they're a $9 billion company, and their growth is going to slow down. Therefore, it's no longer going to be the darling growth stock everybody bought it for. And now you're going to see the PE, current PE, is 30 in the 30s.
Yeah.
Remember, Hanes was in the low teens, is going to be below 10 next year. You see the difference here? Same kind of industry. So, is Under Armour a bad company? No, but it might be a bad investment at this point because I think you're going to see the P/E ratio contract.
Gotcha.
You know,
like
now,
I said,
now,
yeah.
Now they could. just so, Dennis, because I could be wrong, right? They could come out with some new garments, some new, you know, new type of clothing that is hot, and, you know, they could go turn right back around and be another growth stock. But it's going from 20 to 30% growth rates in sales now down to 10 to 15. Still very good, but not like what it was. Okay.
Like I said, I just was with everything. Was as far as it was downgraded and a few other issues with it, I just didn't know whether or not if it was maybe the diamond in the rough.
No, not the buy. If you were thinking about buying, go to Hanes, HBI.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate it. If you're going to buy in this sector, and see, Hanes is now, you know, that's a value play, and it's justified going higher, even though it got hit yesterday, where Under Armour is a growth play, and it's tougher. 888-99-CHART is our number. Time to give me a call.
Our podcast will continue next.
We talk about our portfolio reviews frequently on Invest Talk, but some still wonder what exactly do we cover, so let's take a look. Steve has five major points to cover during the hour or so that you spend together. The first one is clarify your goals, and number two is creating a detailed plan.
It's a process of mapping out where you need to go and how to get there. Do you want to retire next year or never going to retire? I ask all these questions, try to get an idea of where you are and where you're going. And then we get to managing the money to reach those goals. I just help you try to develop a plan.
You know, you can meet with Steve via Skype or telephone from anywhere in the U.S. It's a service that's free and there's no obligation of any kind. If you'd like to set aside an hour for yourself and Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then portfolio review. Now let's continue with our podcast. You're listening to Invest Talk, a service of KPP Financial. For more than 20 years, helping people look forward to their retirement years with confidence. Now let's get back to the Q&A. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Okay, risk in the market. You ever notice that when the market's running up or doing very well, everybody starts to ignore any danger signals? No one right now is very concerned about the market. There is no angst. You don't hear hardly anybody reporting about how overvalued the market is. You don't. The assumption that Trump, President Trump, is doing or going to do things that will be beneficial to the market is just widely accepted. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that the things that he is going to do or plans on doing won't be beneficial to the market. I think they will. But the market right now is already assuming that that is a reality. It's going to take time. It's going to take time. And it's not going to be all one way. Everybody is too blasé about the market right now. Now, this feeling, remember we're talking about emotions and sentiment about the market? This feeling that the market is displaying will not last, but it can last for months and even a couple years. So no one really knows when it will stop, but I want you, the people listening to this show, I want you to realize that we are in a phase where the market is suspending belief. I mean, you know how you're supposed to look at the forward PE? Well, if you're just looking at the trailing PE, we're talking about a PE for the market of 21. That hasn't been like that since 2009, by the way. And the global market is 19. Emerging market is 14. So just looking backwards, you can see that our market is overvalued. Looking forward, the earnings are not that stellar. They're going to be better because we're going to get to compare them with really ugly earnings we had in the last four or five quarters last year. But that doesn't mean the market, and that's just one. That's the PE. And we've talked about the Shiller PE. We've talked about different ways to look at valuations. And there's hardly any way that you can look at a valuation and say that the market is reasonably priced, let alone is it overpriced or, it's underpriced. There's no way. So I just want everybody to kind of keep your eyes open that this market, there's too much. There's just too much blasé about the market right now. There's not enough angst. There's not enough angst. That doesn't mean you get out of your stocks. Doesn't mean you just exit. I think there's too many people just dying to get into the market because they think it's going to just keep going up. So that's all I'm going to say about it because I don't have a crystal ball. I'm observing the market and comparing it with history. That's all I'm doing. And the market tends to repeat itself. I have an email question. Someone sent me an email. I think I remember a podcast concerning LLPs where the limited partner could be liable beyond his or her investment. Would you please revisit limited liability partnerships and liability consequences of participating in such? If I remember the podcast correctly, and you remembered it almost correctly, it wasn't about limited liability partnerships. It was about general partners and limited partners of a general partnership. If you're a limited partner, you're one of the persons that invested in this partnership, but you're not the general partner, the person making decisions. The partnership, you are owner of that partnership. If that partnership goes under and borrowed money and goes under, you as a partner are responsible to repay that money. You don't get to walk away. Even if it's a public partnership, you don't necessarily get to walk away. So be very, very careful. You may, the partnership could file bankruptcy, and then depending on how the bankruptcy and how the money was borrowed and all kinds of other issues, yes, you could be on the hook for more money than just what you invested in it. Especially if it's a private general partnership. And everybody does. REITs, private REITs that people you hear on the radio and they're trying to get you to buy them? Be very, very careful. Because, you can make good returns. Not disputing that. But if you're a limited partner and it's a private partnership and they borrow money to buy apartments and buildings and all those things, but something goes wrong and they go bankrupt, you're going to get what's called a 1099 for the amount of money, your share of the money that was borrowed that was never paid back. And that's going to be income to you and what you have to pay income tax on. You know how I know this? Because it happened to me. Many, many years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I did this. I invested in a partnership, a real estate partnership that buying old hotels and rehabbing them, and and it looked like a great deal. I was on the East Coast, and they filed bankruptcy because the people that were running it, the general partner, were crooks. They borrowed as much money as they could, and they left the country. And all us limited partners had 6 years of horrendous problems with Uncle Sam, the IRS, ended up having to pay, I think it was like $25,000 more after I already invested the money in income tax. Be very, very careful. We're here for you. Beginner Experience Investor, 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Justin. Raphael from Jersey. Wanted your opinion on a stock I've been looking at for quite some time and have not pulled the trigger because of valuation. But it doesn't seem to be working for me to wait. The stock is M, like Michael, T, like Tom, N, like Nancy. This is Vail Resorts. And I like this stock for the consistency and the lack of competition. And in this space of snow resorts, outside activities type space, like I said, there's very limited competition. And the scale that they've built up lets them available to buy out any sizable competition. They're projected to increase increase their earnings per share by about 25%, give or take, for the next 5 years. And I find this company to be a very, very worthwhile investment for someone who wants to buy and hold for a very long term, like I do. And I wanted your assessment of this company because they are pretty much breaking out right now. Thanks, guys. I love the show. Bye.
Okay, as far as how you analyze this company, everything you said is correct. But no, you don't buy it yet. You wait for that correction. You have to be patient. I know. You're saying it's not correcting. Well, yeah, it's right. It's not. It's run from, you know, it's been just up, 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 and up. This is Vail Resorts, everybody. Operates 12 ski resort operations in Colorado, Utah, California, Minnesota, Australia. It's a $6.9 billion company. Sales are going up about 10, 11%, a little bit weak in the most recent quarter, but pretty darn consistent, and they've been consistent year after year after year. Earnings are going to go up 28% this year, then another 12% next year, but the PE is 45. It's $174 stock, and it'll make $5.75. Very good, very well-run company. Everything you said is true, absolutely true. But it's gone up and up and up with very little corrections along the way, and is now in another upward swing. At the very least, you want to see it come down from where it is now, maybe to within the $160 area instead of the $174 area where it is today. There will be a correction. I'm not sure where, how much it's going to be. If I just can't bring myself, and you should have the same kind of attitude as to overpay for something that I like. You just don't want to do it. Can it work? Yes. But if it ever comes down to reality, you can be buying it here at 174. It could go up to 200, 220. It could keep going up. At some point, it's going to correct all the way back down to 150 because it can't keep up the earnings like it has. Can't do it. It's a very well-run company. So this is my suggestion. Still wait for that correction. Whenever the market corrects, this will correct with it. And then buy it during that, even if it doesn't correct as much as the market. But wait for the correction. Maybe you might have to wait another year. But that is the smarter thing to do. And the correction that comes may not even be a correction far enough down below 174. What if it goes to 200 and then it corrects down back to 174? Well, you waited for the correction, but it didn't really help you much. But it's still the smarter investment decision. It's the smarter investment decision. It's that simple. Now, can you roll the dice? If you absolutely have to get in the company, well, then buy your half a position and then wait for a correction. At least you have some. Me, I would not buy it at this high price. The PE is 45. I can't do it. I can't bring myself to do it. I may have a slot or two left for our San Jose meetings in February 8th. I'll be in San Jose. Go up there. I was already there this week. I was in San Ramon this week. Now I'm going to be in San Jose. So next week. And I'll be reviewing certain retirement portfolios, talking to some clients, talking to prospective clients, talking to anybody who wants to talk to me. Remember, it's February 8th in San Jose. And, of course, I make time to meet with listeners on Skype or telephone anytime. I did that today. So whenever you want to, try to make myself as available as much as I possibly can. If you'd like to set up a time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, then portfolio review.
Here's a KPP investment program that may suit you. It's called Active 401k. With Active 401k, your employer's retirement plan is maximized to fit your life situation. This new system is actively assessing and calibrating your 401k choices at work and making timely recommendations that you can implement online. If you'd like to know more about it, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab.
888-99-CHART. Let's go to Chris in Virginia. How you doing, Chris?
Hi there. Hey, I have a question about Brookfield Asset Management, BAM.
Okay.
Just curious, I would like to get a position in them, and I'm thinking about considering them my real estate position.
Okay.
You know, 5% of my overall portfolio in real estate. Do you agree that they would count as a real estate position?
Okay, let's take a look at them.
Brookfield. And also
go ahead. I'm sorry.
And also, would you be willing to get into them, or you want to hold off for a while?
Okay. Okay. Brookfield Asset Management, everybody, out of Toronto. A global alternative asset manager with over $225 billion in assets under management. So right there, it recently bought, no, that was 6 months ago. Right there, we need to know what kind of assets they have. Do you know what assets they have? Is it buildings? Is it land?
They're global. They right now, they're trying to work a deal in Brazil. And they were buying a gas company, I forgot which country. So they're actually global real estate, various type of real estate.
Okay.
That's why I was thinking, all right, they would knock off both my check marks for being international and also for real estate.
Well, it's not purely real estate.
Recently, there was an article about them in, I think it was Forbes online, talked about how with the pace are probably going to go down because of Trump. And protectionism, that some of the investments they have in Mexico might end up being pretty good.
Yeah, okay. They are a big company, $33 billion company, so it's not small. So it would be to be considered a blue chip type of position. They are not expensive. They're going to make $1.93 this year. Actually, 2016, we haven't got the final numbers in, but 2016, they're going to make $1.93, and then in 2017, $2.21. Now, remember, they made $2.50 in 2015, so that's down, okay? So what's happened because of that, the stock has become reasonably priced, pretty good price. The P.E., I mean, it's a $35 stock going to make $2.21. You're looking at a P.E. of what, 12, 13, 14? You know, so maybe 15. So that's pretty reasonable. Return equity is a little low on 10. Usually the return equity is kind of low in this kind of thing. They do have quite a bit of debt because they are buying real estate and they're using finances to do that. Their sales growth has been accelerating quarter after quarter after quarter. In the most recent quarter, sales growth is 24%. And you cannot say that is not huge. That is very huge when a $33 billion company. Because that's a huge amount. You know, that's $8 billion or so that they grow there just a recent quarter. So there's some really good things about it. And your bad things, you talked about it, Chris. And that is President Trump and his battle with international trade deals.
Right.
Now, everybody's really up in arms about what he's doing on the trade deals, and how come I'm not worried about it? You know why I'm not worried about it? Because he's a businessman.
Why is that?
He's negotiating.
Yeah.
It's what he does for a living. Read his book, The Art of the Deal. He's negotiating. All his whole life is about negotiations. He's tough.
Right.
He's not going to not negotiate with NAFTA and Mexico and Canada. Remember, NAFTA is Canada and Mexico, not just Mexico. He's going to negotiate, but he's going to negotiate a deal. He's going to try to get better deals for the U.S. He's not going to, like, have a trade war. He's not going to start a trade war. I don't see it. I don't see it.
Right, right.
But he's going to be tough.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. Thanks, Chris. You're listening to Invest Talk. The invitation is always open, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sam, hold on. You're next. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Sam in Sunnyvale. Thanks for holding, Sam. I appreciate it.
No problem. Great show. Thank you for all the information you share.
Thank you.
I just had a question on the stock INTU. It's Intuit.
Yes.
And I want to know your thoughts on what's the right price at which I can enter.
Okay. Intuit, everybody, provides business and financial management software and services for business accounting professionals and consumers. It's a pretty big company, $30 billion, pretty darn big. They're going to make $4.35 2017 and then $4.96 2015. That's up 15% per year. They're growing their sales 8 to 10 to 12% per quarter. I mean, it's very steady, very good company, not too much debt. All those things are really good. Return on equity is very high. It's just a little expensive. Remember, it's $118 stock going to make $5 a share. So you're talking about a 21 PE, but it deserves it because it's been so steady. Now, as an entry point, I would really like to, if I was wanting to get into this, about $108. $108. If it gets down to $110, you start thinking about buying it. That's what I think. Excuse me. So that would be a great entry point if you can get that. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks,
okay.
Sam.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Let's talk to Tony in the Bay Area. How you doing, Tony?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I have a, I'm about to do a 72T distribution from two separate IRA accounts.
Yes.
Combine the totals of two separate IRA accounts.
Okay.
And my question is, can I take the distribution that I'm about to take from one account one year, next year, take it from the other account, go back and forth so I don't have to do paperwork for two? And then also, I've researched quite a bit, but I don't see any tax form that I have to submit or keep track of. Is there like a certain form that you know of?
Okay, thank you. It's a very good question. Remember, I'm not a tax guy, but I know the answer. But I would always refer you to a professional tax guy. But you can just take the money from one IRA. You just got to combine the amount of both and take your required minimum distribution. How old are you, Tony?
55.
Oh, okay. Well, you don't have to. You can take whatever you want. Okay. You know, and yes, you can take one. You can drain one year after year after year. You can switch from one to the other. And you don't have to take it from both. You do not.
Correct.
Okay. So just one. Now, there is going to be a form on your tax return. There is. Because you have to, that is income to you, that you, you know, whatever you take is income to you, and you're going to have to pay income tax on it. So,
right. But
there's no special form that you have to fill out now to get your money. It's what you're going to do, what you're going to have to fill out is what's called a distribution form, but you just
right,
call
right.
up.
That's from the
brokerage firm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is there something that I have to file or keep track of? Because,
you have to keep track of how much. Remember, everybody's responsible for their income. You have to keep track
exactly.
of your income. But trust me, when you take that distribution form, the custodian is sending paperwork to the IRS.
Okay.
So they know okay. you're taking that money. And if you do not put that on your tax return, they will come after you.
No. I intend to put it on the tax return. I just, how do I differentiate between that and a normal distribution? Because this is going to be the distribution that goes continuously for 5 years, the substantially same amount for 5 years.
Okay, so that's a special way that people can take money out over time. There you're going to have to go talk to your accountant, because there is a form that you got to fill out.
Okay.
Okay, I don't have the answer there. Sorry.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, though.
No problem.
Thanks.
Pretty well. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Our time is up, everybody, for this hour. Goes by pretty fast, doesn't it? You know, I wrote about financial fraud and talked about financial fraud a lot. Well, here's a note. Beware of affinity fraud. You ever heard of that? Fraud, and this is one where they're called affinity scam. Affinity. They pretend to be members of a group like a church. And therefore, you know, hey, how can they rip you off? They're my church members. They join clubs. You know, they get close to you. They're all friendly. Be careful. Okay? Be very careful. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. On behalf of Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thanks for being with us today and enjoy your weekend.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.